The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We are broadcasting live from sunny San Diego.
Yes. The weather here is 72 and sunny and little ocean
so gorgeous
breeze.
And we just watched some TikTok news bloopers, which had us just dying,
crying,
like people interviewing and then something going wrong or somebody slipping. I mean, it's funny every time. And we're like 10-year-old boys laughing at these.
Like literally crying. I can't even breathe.
Saying the wrong things or not knowing the camera was on. It was very silly. And I'm going to watch those montages from now on whenever I don't feel
that kind of laugh when it just like hurts in your stomach and you're like, I can't breathe. But it's just so good for you.
And they're like 15 seconds long, each one of those. So anyways, that was a nice little break. And we're here together in person, which we never are, and we weren't when we recorded this episode. But
no, we weren't. But we figured let's take this opportunity to record this intro together. So we just did a wedding together yesterday. It's been a wonderful weekend. More to come on that future episode. But this episode with Tanya specifically, speaking of crying.
Yeah, Michelle had a moment, and this took her by surprise a little bit.
You all know I don't cry. I mean, I cry actually really easily when I get like angry or irritated.
Confrontational.
You know, I can't deal with it. But it's very rare that we're on an episode and I cry. Christy's the crier.
Mm-hmm.
She's the crier.
I'll take it. I own it. Also, Tanya, we've had this guest before, Tanya Pushkine. She's the vow whisperer, and it was episode 202. But she has a way, and I think I talk about this in the episode, of just like getting to the deep parts of a conversation. Like she's someone who brings that out of you naturally, which is great because what she's doing now is helping people write their own vows and getting to that point where they can be very personal and detailed. And we've already done an episode all about what she does and how she works with couples. I hooked back up with her and wanted to have her on, and we were kind of conceiving an idea originally about an older bride, someone getting married later in life. This is her second wedding, but I was sort of thinking like we could do a whole episode about like
because we have a lot of listeners out there. We know you. We've heard from you that are not in your 20s or 30s.
Yeah, and what it's like to plan a wedding at that stage when you're more established in your career. Maybe you have more money. Maybe you know what you want a little bit more, but also how the dynamics change in a family when mom is the bride and instead of the bride dealing with her overbearing parents or I don't get along with my mother-in-law or something like that, it's the reverse of that with dealing with your kids or stepkids or, you know, blended families and how this is all going to work. And that experience was the original idea. But then talking to Tanya in an onboarding call and seeing what she was posting on Instagram at the time, which we talk about in the episode, it just kind of fell into a different topic, which is much more personal and diving into that family dynamic.
That all of you deal with, especially during planning a wedding. Weddings bring out the stuff that you kind of keep deep down low that you ignore because you don't want to deal with it because you have your life to deal with. And you don't, like, a lot of this shit is like, no, I don't want to deal with it. And then the wedding comes around and you're like, ugh.
How do I reach out to my estranged dad? Or I don't want to invite my sibling who we just don't get along at all. I would say 50% easily, one in every two emails that we get from listeners has to do with family. We say family drama, but that almost minimizes like it's,
I know.
Sometimes it's not drama. It's just real stuff, like really difficult stuff. So that's where this episode went. And we just listened back to remind ourselves, because we recorded this a while ago, and there was a part in it where I was like, that's the crux. That's what it's about. And it has to do with ultimately like humility and choosing to move through conflict in your life, relationships, with the destination in mind, like
as opposed to your own
ego. Yeah.
But actually, when you're ready to like make that change and you're ready to go beyond the shit that you were so angry about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And how to get there. That's what she's talking about, how to get there. And so it was emotional to record, yeah. But this is a great episode. And if you're dealing with any kind of family heaviness, there's something in here.
Yes.
A takeaway.
There's definitely a takeaway, at least one for you. So we just want to shout out Tanya. You are like, we want to just like bottle you up and bring you with us. We wish you were here right now. She's a lovely human, and I'm really happy that she was able to make this breakthrough with her son. Yes. So without further ado, let's get into this interview with Tanya.
Hi, my name is Tanya Pushkin. I am the founder of The Vow Whisperer, which is a service that does several things. It helps couples write their own vows, but very important to note, in their own words. I'm not the writer. So I get everything out of them, and using their words, I will craft their vows, put flow to it, structure, edit, rewrite until we're happy with a version. And I work individually with the couple, not together, since it has to be top secret. And then once we're ready with the final vows, we work on the presentation. And that's everything from coaching how not to mumble, how to make eye contact with your future spouse while you're reading off of a piece of paper or a vow book, how not to have fidgety gestures, how to project your voice, how to stand there with poise. So it's a service that really gets you ready to say your vows in public. Many people are terrified of speaking in public, so I will get them through all of that to the point where they're feeling great about themselves.
And you also officiate.
I'm an officiant.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm also an officiant, yes.
Okay, I wonder if you could coach Christy and I on how not to mumble. I feel like I mumble a lot on
you
the
do?
Podcast. Really? Yeah, I minced my words. I listen back to the episodes probably two or three times because I'm working with our editor and I'm like, oh, I like irritate myself. I'm like, why did you do that? And I laugh at myself. I always like, and so I feel like right now.
Some of that is endearing, Michelle. It's personality.
I know, yeah. But you know, mumbling is a thing.
I don't think you mumble.
Oh, I don't either. Well, thank sometimes you. I understand you too well.
Well, sometimes, you understand me very well, and she fills in all the words I can't remember. But why do people mumble? Because they get nervous? Because
they've never learned how to enunciate. You know, people are lazy with their tongues. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, it takes effort to enunciate each word.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So it's a laziness in speaking, I imagine. Most people don't know how to speak properly. It's just, but here it's, you know, you want the guest to hear every word. So we've got to work on that.
I think there's a lot of posture too when it comes to
yes.
what happens in our mouth and how we speak. Like when people are nervous, they sort of collapse into
yes.
themselves and their shoulders. I mean, from yep. theatrical training, like that power stance, you know, that you do before an audition, or I would, yep. when I was teaching, would teach the kids like before a test, like power stance. If you
right.
put your chest out and you activate your diaphragm and you get your body going, and that helps with confidence, but doing something like that right before you walk down the aisle can actually help a lot with the mumbling because it gets your posture correct.
I always encourage the power pose.
I'm a big
always.
Fan of the power pose.
Okay, everybody. Well, before you yeah. walk down that aisle,
Just do a little power pose, shoulders back. I did a wedding a couple years ago and there was this bridesmaid who was hilarious. That girl had me laughing all the time. And you know what? She would kept telling the girls before they go, tits up.
Tits up.
Tits up.
Well, that's perfect. Tits up. Mrs. Maisel.
Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, that's the big, before I she goes out on show. Stage.
So now I say tits up, bouquets low. Well, we are not talking about a power stance or tits on this episode, but we are.
That was just a bonus.
That was a bonus. Huge bonus, by the way. It's great tips here.
Yeah, some of you might recognize Tanya from another episode we did with her where we were talking about the vow whisperer, specifically the service, how she works with couples. So you got a little cliff notes here, but this episode is a different topic. One that Michelle and I feel like is close to our podcasting hearts, right? Because we're just always getting emails, DMs. We get asked about this stuff all the time and it's complicated to answer. We don't have just pat answers when it comes to questions about family dynamics. So you've heard episodes now about bridal party dynamics or wedding party or maybe specific things about like overbearing parents or who's paying for what, but we're talking about the deeper family dynamics in this one, like estrangements and how to get past years long, sometimes relationship issues in order to get to that celebration day. And talking to Tanya is not just going to share anecdotes about couples she's worked with, but actually her own experiences. And I thought a great way to frame this would be that in this case, Tanya, you were the bride and your adult children were involved with the wedding ultimately, but there was a long journey to get there. And so the family dynamics with the generation shift is kind of how we're framing this. And it was something you mentioned on Instagram, I think. One of your captions of one of your own wedding photos that got me talking to you about it. And
what
you were so
say?
Open and gracious. So yeah, it was a picture of the processional, right?
It was my son and I. And the post was about how he and I had not spoken for a year and we reconnected the night before. And the gift that it meant to me that he was there. So that was the post.
The photo is so beautiful and you're both so happy. Like you both look just so like purely happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Must have been difficult not to speak to your son for a year.
It was, it was a loss of a child, really, because I did not know if we would ever speak again. So I was grieving a very serious loss. And we had had a falling out a year before, which had really been a culmination of years of a little bit of a roller coaster relationship. And due to a horrific divorce that both my kids had been a part of. And he and I had, you know, he reached a point where it was better, it was healthier for him not to be in touch with me. Mm. And he had met a girl. They moved to Costa Rica as an experiment just for fun. He's a writer, so he could write from anywhere. And off they went. And meanwhile, my husband proposed to me. And during the planning stage, there were many, many times when I thought, I cannot go through this wedding without my son there.
Right.
I cannot do this. And with the help of a therapist, actually, I ended up writing him a letter, which normally I don't think I would have written this. It was really to acknowledge everything that he felt as opposed to saying how I felt, you know, well, I think you did this and I think you did that, 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 that. All I did was compromise, acknowledge, and give him the honor of knowing that I understood how he felt and that I wanted to do everything I could to fix this. And this was about 6 weeks before the wedding. Meanwhile, I had tried to resolve myself, this desire to have my son walk me down the aisle was what I wanted more than anything. And it took a lot of work to come to grips with the idea that he was not going to be there and walking down the aisle alone. And that itself, you know, we're taught in society, you know, it's your daddy, it's your uncle, it's your brother, it's whoever is walking you down the aisle and giving you away. And here I really had to convince myself to be this empowered woman and say, screw it all. I am going down that aisle by myself.
You felt that pressure, even though it's your second wedding and you and your husband now are like established, what, you know, adults, that idea of being yes. given away was still something you had to.
I don't think I looked at as given away. I think that that's what society looks mm-hmm. it as. For me, it was just a symbolic gesture. And I will add, my daughter was the officiant. So I really wanted both my kids involved. And the best way yeah. for my son would be to walk me down the aisle.
So that was the dream scenario. But in the course of planning, you tried to accept that likely that was not going to happen.
I tried to accept and I would have another meltdown. And then I would try to accept and have another meltdown. And at times I thought, let's not do this wedding. I cannot imagine. And even though I say my relationship with my son was a roller coaster, regardless of that, we were still very, very, very close. And that came from being a single mother and raising them on my own after my ex-husband had left. And that forces you in a way as the mother to, you know, you become the mother, the father, the provider, the everything. And that really is what encouraged that closeness we had, but it was tumultuous at times. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask what your husband yeah. or your fiance at the time, your partner, how he was? I mean, you said you would accept it and then you'd have a meltdown. I can imagine that he was the recipient of a lot of those conversations. Or how did he help you or not help you, or how did that go?
You know, I don't know if he helped me. I think what he did was he kept saying, you must feel so terrible. I wish there was something I could do. Hmm. My daughter, who knew how much I wanted my son there, she was playing Switzerland. She was neutral. She did not want to get into the middle of this. The only thing she was willing to do was deliver the package to Costa Rica and then let things be.
Got it.
That was it. I mean, I very much wanted her help, but on the other hand, I understood that she did not want to be in the middle of all this.
So she was participating in her own way, but anytime you would try to breach the topic of your son, it would right. be like a, like, mom, stop.
No, don't go there.
Okay.
Right.
So how was the letter received ultimately?
I got a phone call a week later and he said, do you want to talk? And most of the conversation was me really reiterating that I understood how badly he had felt all those years. I think he felt as if I had not paid enough attention to him as I did with my daughter. He felt like the, you know, not the favorite child, let's say. And I did everything I could to try to make him feel as if I just adored him. I loved him. I did not mention the wedding in that first phone call. It was a second phone call, maybe a week later, that he said to me, he mentioned that he and his girlfriend were going to be in New York at the end of, or middle of April. And that's when I said, that's when my wedding is. And he said, I know. And so I said, look, I would love you to be there. It would be, for me, the greatest gift you could possibly give. And they thought about it. And it was very last minute that they made the decision to come. What was the most amazing thing, and what, Christy, what you probably saw in that photograph on Instagram, both of us were laughing. And the reason we were laughing is because so many people, so many of the guests knew that my son and I had had no communication for a year, but no one knew that he was going to be there. And when we first walked down the aisle, it was mayhem. It was people going, woohoo, and clapping really loudly. I mean, it's not what you normally see at a wedding, but the response, the love I felt from everybody there, and everybody's such genuine happiness.
I wrote, when we were talking, I was just jotting down questions that I would have that you were bringing up. And one of them is that big question, because so many couples that have family issues feel pressure and then start to feel resentful. Like, why is my wedding day a time that I have to like deal with my parents' bullshit with each other and their divorce and their new spouses? And like, can't you all just fucking get along? And the truth is, sometimes people totally do. I think sometimes it helps when you have a wedding planner there, as you know, to help, but sometimes they don't. So the big question is, like, do weddings bring families closer together, or do they just bring everything up to the surface? And how that stuff is dealt with is the key to success here.
I think all the stuff that comes to the surface, which is, you know, seemingly so trivial. It's, you know, the mother-in-law doesn't like the daughter who's, you know, or I'm not paying for this because I don't like, you know, it's all this trivial stuff that's what seems to come up more than these big issues of, I haven't talked to you in 20 years and I have no intention of, you know, even sitting next to you or being near you near the wedding. That's just selfish behavior. I mean, get it together for the couple.
How do people compromise like you did? Like, what was the process?
Very often it's a therapist or the wedding planner, who unfortunately is playing therapist.
I just want to say something that you said earlier, that your therapist helped you do this, which I think is great. But the concept of writing to him, not to say how you felt, but acknowledging how he felt, is most likely what allowed him to open up and be like,
yes,
you get it. And I think that for people listening, I mean, all of us humans, we hurt, and then we're just like, this is how I feel. This is how I feel. This is how I feel. But acknowledging and caring about how the other person feels, I think, is a huge part of being able to heal. And I think it's something that people listening right now could take. That's a huge takeaway.
And not trying to explain it all. That's the second part to that, right? Like, you didn't write him a letter being like, let's start at the beginning.
Right.
Exactly. What happened? Exactly.
I tend to over explain when I feel defensive, and you had to take that whole element out,
because you care more about making things right than making
proving
your
you
point
right.
or proving why you're upset. And I think
it was
that's
about
a lot
letting
the problem
go
with a lot of people,
letting go of ego, letting 100%. Go of me. I'm the mom. I know better.
You
hurt Who's the
me.
One who screwed up. Yeah. You hurt me. None of that. It was all about him. And that was my therapist that I really had to credit. She said, just focus on him, not on you, not on how you're feeling.
And I don't know what happened with your ex-husband, but I'm sure as a mom, and having been, there's probably a lot of pain there. Probably, I'm assuming. Feeling like my kids don't get it. Like, they don't know how much pain and suffering there was.
How much I went through. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they don't. And in fact, now it gets even more complicated. So their relationship with their father is at the moment terrible. And both of them each have partners that they will marry. And they've both said to me, what are we going to do? We might not be able to have our father at our wedding. So the nonsense continues.
Would you give them the advice you ultimately ended up embracing yourself, which is to reach out and try to acknowledge his feelings?
I don't know if I would, because I think what he's done to them is so horrific, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if I would do that.
Different levels of, we have a threshold. That's what I'm trying to say. Everybody has a threshold of how much they can actually address and process at one time.
Right.
And sometimes the wedding planning process, the 6 months, 8 months, year that takes, is not enough time, nor is it the right time to address some of the really tough stuff.
Right. 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 Exactly. Exactly. It's very tough. It's, you know, in families, I feel like so many families have got such unbelievable tensions. And, you know, you always read about it at holidays. That's the worst time, right? When Thanksgiving and Christmas, when families are together and things fall apart.
People kind of expect to fight at that time, right? Like you kind of, there's always something.
You gear up.
But with a wedding, and yours is kind of the opposite than what we hear about so often, but you know, we hear about the marriers, the couple having divorced parents and there being that tension and that kind of argument and pain that's been going on since they were whatever age when their parents divorced. Mm-hmm. And so on the wedding day, it's so hard. It's just so hard. They don't want that. I think the biggest fear is they don't want that to come to the surface during the wedding.
But then there's
rehearsal dinner or whatever it is.
How do we honor them? Who do I dance with? Who walks me down the aisle? Who do I let give a toast? I don't want anyone to, I don't want my stepdad to think I don't also respect and love him. And the couple takes on more of a facilitator role than any couple wants to. But that's because they're trying to actually plan their day and decide how to involve people.
And you've listed all these things that are very, very common, very common. I mean, I would think being the mother at either of one of my children's weddings, I would do everything I could to at least put on the best acting performance of my life for my kids. You know, put that aside. Because my ex-husband and I have, unfortunately, it's hatred. And we would have to put that aside for the sake of the kids. Why? It's not fair to them.
Right.
My hope is that a lot of people listening, if you have parents who are divorced or separated, I would almost send this episode to them so they can understand or hear. And I mean, they know. I mean, if you've been living, I mean, I speak from experience. If you've been living through,
you got it, mama,
through this for so many decades, you get used to it.
Right. It's just like a part of any communicating with your parents that you're going to have to take that on.
Right.
It's a burden. But
if you can just like, I mean, you kind of numb yourself to it, but for the wedding of your kids, you know, just like really think about this and like really like put that shit aside.
Put it aside. Put it aside, because it's so unnecessary. And it's also, again, most of the time, either trivial or just be adults, you know?
Yeah, I think there are dynamics also other than divorces and parents, but there are siblings. Sometimes we have like, hey, I'm inviting my four sisters, but no way in hell I'm inviting my brother. Like, we just haven't talked. He's a right. dick. I don't want, like, it's not.
Right.
And that's right. a decision. And some people are okay with that. And then we hear from listeners who really struggle with guilt or how am I going to feel after this? Or if I do invite and then he ruins it, it'll be like proving my point that I knew he was going to do that. And he always does that. Or sometimes there's mental illness and it's like just easier if we don't include this person. Like, there's some tough decisions that need to be made. I think mentioning therapy at the top of this episode and then all through, Michelle and I are big fans of therapy anyway, but I think for some people, maybe, listen, you hire a lot of people for your wedding planning. You hire a lot of vendors. Maybe hiring or bringing in a therapist is also a good idea and should be a part mm-hmm. of the planning process or the start yes. of a healthy habit, not necessarily with you and your dad who you really have issues with, or you and your sibling who you haven't talked to, but with you and your partner to talk out your feelings. Mm-hmm. The advice Michelle and I do give a lot of people is you can't change another person, but you can change how you deal with
right
and how you react. That's the only thing you have control over. And a therapist right. can really help. Like, truly, we say a lot of things on this podcast, but if you take nothing from what we say, please take that therapy can really, really help with processing and dealing with your own reactions and, you know, the way that you see people and yourself in this world.
Right, right. I have a couple of friends who are actually, they're psychologists by trade, but they're no longer practicing as psychologists, but as wedding coaches. So their specialty is just dealing with the family drama and wedding stress issues. And it's a booming business.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen some of them on Instagram. And I think it's an important thing. And so how did it go? I mean, did everything go great? Did you guys talk it out, or did you need to talk it out, or?
We did not talk it out.
Okay.
And it was better that way. I think we both decided we were going to move forward and not look back.
Nice.
Because to have to rehash and go through all of the ugliness that had happened would have just been very, very unhealthy to do. And my relationship with him is wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And I'm so grateful that, you know, it was really about letting go of my own ego. And I think that's for everybody who has a problem with another family member. Let go of your ego. Just, you know, forgive. Even if you don't really forgive, pretend to forgive, because it's going to help you.
If you want to start to mend or move forward.
Right.
I think you said in the call, because I wrote it down and it sounds too wise for me to have said when I was jotting notes down, but I think you said it can be a wedding day can be the beginning of a new family story. It can be. And like Michelle said, this, your case maybe isn't the most common, but there's an opportunity for a new start, and people need yes. to remember that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, if it's thought of as a new start, my God, how different your lives moving forward are going to be. And, you know, not to have this horrible tension and stress, but to look at it as a blank canvas to start over, which is exactly what I did with my son. It was a blank canvas. We did not look back.
Like, ready for him to splash some color on and for you to be like, I'm present. I'm here. Yes. This is the new us.
Yes. Yes.
That's so awesome. I bet your daughter was very relieved too.
Yes. Extremely, extremely. I know that she was, you know, trying to manage my, you know, the whole idea of walking down the aisle by myself. She was trying to help me manage that. at the same time taking care of herself and not getting in the middle of all this.
Yeah.
But she was very relieved.
That's great.
They're going to get married to their partners soon, like you said, or someday in the future. And the older we get, we definitely see how things are not black and white in the world. And like, there's the older we get, the grayer things get in every way. But like, there's just so much in between. There's so much gray. And I find you personally so easy to talk to. If you have that way, I mean, that's why you're doing what you're doing now with the Vow Whisperer. Enough people were like, wait a minute, I'm pouring my heart out to this woman at a coffee shop. Like, you have a way, an energy that is inviting. You're empathetic. You probably take on other people's emotions. And so it's almost difficult for me to imagine like you struggling with your own emotional
everybody's
life
got
and
something.
Relationships. Yeah. Since you're here and Michelle never breaks into like tears. That's my job. And it's usually for stupid stuff, but obviously Michelle, your family, it's complicated. There's divorce. Like, I wonder what you would want to happen if you were to like renew your vows or get married again, or you and Jose Luis were going to like throw a big anniversary party or something. Like, do you, it just makes me wonder if you have like an ultimate goal, because you said you're just used to stuff now. And that makes me sad that you feel like resigned.
You know, I think what struck me with Tanya's story is just because I have that with my mom. Because my parents actually, when I was four, they divorced and it was terrible for freaking ever. But now that I'm a grown up and they're older and moved on, they can actually like, I mean, my mom will still talk shit about my dad, you know, every chance she gets. But when they've actually are able to get together now for, you know, and like laugh and make fun of each other. But it wasn't like that growing up. Growing up, it was really bad. So, I mean, and they were divorced. But I think right. I have things with my mom. And when you said that, you know,
you wrote a letter acknowledging pain.
I've actually written letters pain to my mom. I hope she doesn't listen to this. She won't.
You don't have to say anything. I just wanted to see.
Vow renewal, I don't even know that I would. Well, I mean, I would love for what you did to be something that my mom could do.
Yeah.
Or even that I could do. I've written her, you know, and then I felt bad because I've written her letters. Cause I can't talk to her at times, like it's really difficult. So, and I've written her letters and I think like, damn, maybe if I would have written it more of acknowledging her pain too, cause I know that there was so much pain and there is, but that's more what struck me.
Yeah.
I think if I had a vow renewal, I'd invite her. It would be stressful.
They would play nice. It would be fine. It's more the
underlying stress, but stuff. Yes, they would play nice. I think it's more me and my mom now, the tension than my mom and my dad. Yeah. Thanks a lot, man.
Well, I could tell you were getting emotional anyways. And I thought when Tanya was describing the letter she wrote and not seeing her son, and I was thinking, Michelle and I both have sons. We can't imagine a day.
Oh,
I said this to you on the phone, Tanya. We can't imagine...
A year
going by where I wasn't in like constant communication with my adult or older son. So that I thought was what was affecting you.
And
Santi, like growing up and like how close you are now, you ruffle his head when you walk by. And Tanya, you mentioned that at that dinner, you just were like pawing at him. Like we do that with our kids. We just want to touch every bit of them because they came.
I can't not touch him. He hates it now too because he's 13.
So I thought that was what got you emotional, but then I realized it was more about the mom stuff. And I just thought since Tanya's here, maybe you could get it out.
No, I really, really, the way that happened in the letter and everything is just, I'm just really happy for you that
that you were able to do that, to even write that and let go of that ego, because it's wonderful for your son, but it's also amazing for you. Like what a great thing to get off. Like when people, I don't think a lot of people realize, like when they let go of their own anger and ego, it actually makes you feel better. Like holding on to anger and waiting for that apology is what screws you up.
Exactly. And I think I also have been able to let go. I mean, trust me, writing that letter was very difficult because there was so much I wanted to blame him for. And, you know, you did this and you did that and all these things. And for me to be able to really let go was huge. And I did it for the letter, but then I had to do it in real life. Right. You know, I really had to. And so we've started from scratch, basically, that day. Really was a completely new beginning.
It's so great.
So it was, yeah.
I usually have a pretty good way of like circling something back and being like, well, great then, pro tips and here's the takeaway. Like usually, but I knew this episode and talking to you was going to be more, when you're dealing with emotions, there is not like an outline that we can just go to, but I appreciate that we're sharing experiences beyond what we've shared so far. And that's with your willingness to talk about it, Tanya, with us and what happened before and at your wedding, and also Michelle with you answering or going there with me, asking you that. I know you can tell Veronica to cut it out if you want, but I just don't see you have emotional reactions like that very often. So it's
I think big. You should keep it in because it's making this podcast, this episode very real. And so many podcasts are just, you know, we're talking about beautiful flowers and pretty photography. And here we're really digging to the heartstrings.
Yeah. How can people find you? Because clearly people need to talk to Tanya.
Talk to your therapist.
She brings out the best.
Hire the vow whisperer.
No, but I think writing vows specifically are something people have so much difficulty with, and just the coaching and teaching them how to speak.
They procrastinate.
And say it,
and like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I do have to tell you, there's a lot of there. I'm not a therapist, but in the whole vow process, because we dig very deeply, you know, it's very thought provoking. It's really going back into memories. You know, what was that first moment like when you locked eyes, and, you know, tell me some amazing experiences you've had, and why do you want to marry him? And all of these questions, they elicit a lot of emotion. And, you know, I get to know my couples, I joke that sometimes better than their own therapist, because we've really dug very deeply.
Yeah, I can imagine.
How do you not let somebody get away with just the shallow stuff? Like, let's say a groom starts to answer questions and he's like, she's a really good cook and, you know, she's a morning person and I like that about her. Like things that you're like, okay, that's good, but
I probe.
Okay,
I probe and I probe and I probe, because it's your vows, you're telling a story. And it's not enough for you to tell me you love him because he's generous. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. How has he been generous? Give me an example. So I just dig and dig and dig.
To find like, what do you see about him that others haven't seen, even people that know him?
Right.
Okay.
So it's just about asking a lot of questions. And I do, you know, thanks to before you were saying that I'm easy to speak to, you know, couples really do divulge a lot with me. And, you know, a lot of it does not get into the vows because it shouldn't, doesn't belong there, but they do feel comfortable enough with me that, you know, we sometimes we do work through if I can give any suggestions or, you know, advice, right. if there's some family situation going on, I will. But a professional is definitely the way to go. If it's more than just a superficial thing.
Right.
I also want to say that what I like about your story here is that, like, we don't often get emails about, hey, I just wanted to let you know life is going great. Yeah. My wedding planning is going amazing. Yeah. I've got no problems. My wedding party is fantastic. Like, I just don't, can you tell me why I don't have any problems? We never get those emails. We always get emails about help.
Yes.
What position
we put ourselves in.
So there's a silver lining in this story, and it's nice to hear that you did the right stuff and your son was there and there was just this joy and happiness and no feeling of like, I wish this would have happened, but rather this did happen and here's how it did. So I'm glad to bring message.
You know, going back just to one thing, when you asked me, how was my husband throughout this process for me? I think now that I've thought about it, I think what he tried to do was get me to accept that my son was not coming. Mm. Just start to really accept that he will not be there. Mm. And that was something that I just couldn't do, but that was what he was trying to do for me.
Right. To help you sit with the fact that this just might not happen. But we are going to get married and this is the way it's going to be potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which, you know, happens often as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, so deep, Tanya. I don't think I'm going to be able to talk to you for at least another year. No, I'm just kidding. I actually did not know this was going to go this way, by the way. I know you, I don't think I was totally clear on the outline until I got on this call. And usually I don't do recordings this early, but I was like, oh, I'll do it. I'll hop on. Cause I didn't get to go with Tanya last time.
Yeah.
She was on the podcast.
Doing a quick tutorial. And she's like, okay, family drama. Okay. Son. Yep. Okay. Got it. I know, but talking to you does have, you do have a way of things come out. I mean, when we did the onboarding at the end, I was like, I think I'm reaching this new phase in my life. And I'm really having a midlife crisis. I'm trying to think of it as an enlightenment. And Tanya was like, like just taking it. And I was like, I've never told anybody this. Like it was too,
I'm like,
it gets real. It's like when you just like dump your real truth onto like a person next to you on an airplane. And then afterwards you're like, how did that happen? Were we in like a time warp?
Right. Exactly.
Oh my God.
You have one of those faces too. You do invite, like I maybe have one of those faces that's like a don't talk to me face on a plane, but you have like a inviting, like I'm, you know, what do you have to say? Oh, how are you?
Not on an airplane. Not on an airplane. Do not talk to me.
She's got her sunglasses on.
She has like a scarf.
Yeah. Her book in front of her. Like, not disturbed.
Funny.
Good. Well, thank you, Tanya. Please your website, your Instagram, how people can find you. They need to find you.
TheVowWhisperer.com. Instagram is TheVowWhisperer. Email is Tanya@TheVowWhisperer.com.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you both so much. This was a very special, very special moment for me too, also to be able to tell you all this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us,
You can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.